When a father misses the opportunities to affirm his daughter's worth, he affects her as a woman. We want to talk about that, and it's never too late, and that's why we're talking about it today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, this whole week talking about fathers and daughters. Monday, we touched on helping your daughter embrace her femininity and how a father does that. And then, of course, Tuesday, giving her time and making her feel valuable. That's very important. The unconditional love part and how vital that is. And then Wednesday, we talked also about how to be the parallel almost of God. But I am your dad, he is your father, always pointing up to him. And then yesterday, talking about fathering by example, just being a dad and just by how you are, what kind of example are you setting for your daughter?
We're impacting her marriage.
Yeah.
What to expect in her marriage.
Absolutely.
How many times have we heard, well, that's the way my dad did it. And sometimes it's a positive and sometimes it's a negative.
And that's what we're covering today, though, right? What if you messed up? This is not going
the
way.
And we all mess up. But I want to start this by asking you as a woman, how does today, and you've worked with a lot of teens, how does today's woman find self-esteem? How does today's woman start to feel good? Okay, I am valuable. How does today's woman get there? What do they look for? What do they do?
I think they look for, the word admiration comes to my mind. It's sort of not just that I'm pretty or I'm okay. It's almost like with this whole American Idol Facebook, everyone's trying to be flashy, that it's not even just being accepted. It's being applauded or like just really admired, like, wow, you really do look nice. You almost admired a little extra. I don't know.
And everybody can't be that. So you just talked about
reality.
You talked about the 1% that can get there,
right.
The other percent that can't, the other 99%. So there's a portion of them that are going to hang out with a crowd that really says, wow, when you're as weird as you can possibly be. And if it's all outward appearance that is applauded or all outward performance that is applauded, then we've left a very lonely child who is very vulnerable. And that little girl has a high propensity for taking her clothes off to get affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So as a dad, if I haven't done it, I can start doing it. My daughter went out the door, and I'm going to give us some things that people think they can't do, but everybody can do this.
Okay.
Everybody can do this. My daughter went out the door feeling good about herself, and it wasn't a performance. She felt she was loved. She hit a college campus. While she was there her freshman year, I wrote her a one-page letter every single day. I got up every morning, and mornings are me. Everybody's a different time. I get up every morning and had devotions and then would write a one-page letter, and not an email letter. I wanted her to have an envelope to open up sitting in her box, but do it any way you want. I wanted her to have a piece of paper to carry around, and sometimes I'd stick things in there, and every now and then I'd put a check in there. But I didn't do that all the time. I didn't want her just hunting for the check. But she got every day of her life, and I numbered them, and every day of her life, she either got one, or some days she got none and two the next day, and I know there was one day she got three or four and something happening in the mail, but that was okay. But she knew there is a man back in South Florida that adores her, and I would use those letters to tell her, I saw a friend of yours or a parent friend of yours or what's going on, and the bottom paragraph, and oh, by the way, my devotions today were on such and such, and I just realized how far I have to go in this area. And I just wanted a conversation with her that she could carry. It wasn't just a mobile phone. I wanted her to touch it. I wanted her to go to the mailbox and see, I wonder if I got something from my dad. It was a reminder you're not alone at that cause. There is a people that love you back in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of dads who've got an older daughter and didn't do that. And to start writing the letters or start doing something, knowing I never once got a letter back. 178 letters.
Oh my, you
never
remember how
once
many.
Got a letter back. And I conditioned myself not to need a letter back. I'm not doing this to get a letter back.
Because you wanted one.
I would want a letter, but I'm okay because I got to talk to her on her cell. I mean, on her phone. But if I would get in my head that I can't believe I wrote her 10 letters and I didn't get anything back, I'm not sending her a letter. I'm just not sending her anymore. No, I wasn't doing that for that. And I had to get in my head, this is a discipline I'm doing because I want her to know you are worth this. There's a lot of dads who say, my daughter's much further on along. I can't imagine asking my 15-year-old daughter, after all this time, can we go get dinner tonight? Just you and me. Do it anyway. And it is going to be painful. And she's not going to say thank you. And it's going to weird her out. And she's going to sit there maybe a mute, or she's going to sit there and complain about everything on planet Earth.
And rolling eyes.
Yes. You're not there to get affirmation. You're not there to say, you know what, Dad, I want to tell you, you're the best dad I've ever seen. This is unbelievable. In fact, if she says that, go get her medicated. There's a problem there, or she wants something.
Right.
You do it because it's the right thing to do. I can't for the life of me imagine how Jesus walked around with those disciples. How did he have any meaningful conversations? How and yet I get it. You know, I've got an almost 3-year-old grandson, and upstairs, my study upstairs in our house is about 9 feet by 8 feet. It's teeny, but the walls are lined with bookcases. On the very top of the 8-foot bookcases, there are toys that are my toys that no one was ever allowed to touch. And you know, a model of my first car, a 1964 Plymouth Valiant, my Green Bay Packer cheesehead, all these other things are up there that are just my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been the joke. And when the kids wanted it, it made a bigger joke. No, it's Daddy's toys. And so all of a sudden, this little boy who's almost 3, named Reuben, comes up the stairs. I hear him coming up the stairs. I hear him come running down the hall. And he comes in. And before he could talk, he was pointing at the toys. And I take all the toys off. I put them in the middle of the floor. I get down on the floor, and I'm playing with them. My son goes by my study and says, I can't even believe this. All my life, I couldn't play with these toys. Yeah, he gives me a
I never put the cheese
awesome.
Head on.
Yes, it was awesome listening to this senior pastor of a church complaining. And Reuben and I sit on the floor, and there's nothing Reuben's ever going to say to me that's going to impress me. There's nothing I'm going to go, wow, any more than God and I are going to be talking. And there's nothing that God's going to say, whoa, Bob, never thought of that, man. That's awesome. God's there because he loves you. And I've got to go be there with her at 12, 13, 14, 15. I've got to break the ice. I've got to try, because what so often happens, another week or so, we're going to spend a week on signal behavior. And signal behavior is behavior where I don't know how to come to you and say I want a relationship, or I don't know how to come to you and tell you I'm in pain, or I don't know. So I do really bizarre behaviors to get your attention, because bad attention is better than no attention.
Mm-hmm.
So end of the day here, break the ice, go out to eat, finish the going out to eat, come home, stop by for ice cream, break your rules, and then say, this was really nice. Do you want to do it again? And if she doesn't,
embracing yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And if she says, "Well, I don't know. Okay, well, let's just wait a little bit. I'm going to ask you again." You know, let me just say, I asked Rosemary out on a date from the mid-September to December 4th, and she turned me down every week. I asked her every week. And then
this has been a pattern.
Yes, yes, yes. I deal with a lot of rejection. And then she led me to Christ and finally went out with me. I asked her to marry me every 6 months for 4.5 years. I got the prize because I didn't quit. I'm just saying that to dads, get the prize. Getting your daughter's heart is a huge prize here, because someone's going to get it. You want to be able to do the literal, who gives this woman to this man?
Mm.
And so there's a great privilege here, but work for her heart.
But really, even like how you covered it earlier this week, how your role kind of mirrors God's role a little bit too, even with the responsibility part of it, but also like the painful part too. I mean, how many times do we reject God? Then we become parents, and then our kids kind of reject us, and they just want to be rebellious. They want to do their own thing. And you have to be grown up about it.
Ooh, that's a great word.
And it's not easy.
It gets tiring when you have children in college who only call you when they need money.
Right.
It gets tiring, must get tiring, being God when I only talk to him when I want something. And I had to imagine once when one of mine called, and I was so excited and said, well, Dad, can I talk to you about something? I need a help with such and such. And I almost wondered, okay, I know, Lord, that you're smiling now, because I have a tendency to do this with you, and I'm sensing this is payback or a lesson in all of this. You must pursue your children. And what happens is we pursue them till they're about 4 years old, and then we don't pursue them anymore. And your daughter goes untouched by you, healthy touch. And all of a sudden, the dad's life is not there. It's not showing up. And he's dropping her off instead, rather than getting a chair and watching something so unbelievably boring like ballet lessons, or grabbing a chair and listening to her practice piano and play Fleur-de-Lis or whatever that thing's called for the 9,000th time. Yes. Or our princess, whatever it was, something she wanted me to watch over and and over and over, and understanding this is her world. You know, having a tea party, this is her world. Playing, sitting down there at the table, having a tea party out on the porch, this is her world when she's little. And wanting to be more and more active in her life so that we can hear each other's heart, so that I can get to know her heart, so that when the critical call, when some pain takes place, she knows I can trust my dad with this information. I can trust my dad with my pain. In fact, I can trust my dad's advice. I can trust that he won't go crazy when I tell him this. We have a responsibility to pursue it. If you haven't done that, find a way to get back in and expect rejection, because rejection is part of the, how much do you really want to do this, Dad? We're going to find out right now. And then just go be and listen. Help her in this process.
Now, earlier in this program, you talked about how you wrote a letter every day to your daughter while she was in college. That might have something to do with maybe your love language or just your training. You're a writer and you read books and all that. What about the dad that, you know, I'm better with my hands. Is there a way that I can just love on my daughter with my gifts, or should I rather just find her like love language?
Oh, I think you have to find hers. One of the problems in marriage is we tend to call in on the wrong phone lines and wonder why our spouse isn't picking up.
Right.
We have various love languages, and Tori's love language was really being listened to and taken seriously. She wanted eye contact. And that was just her. And you could handle her differently, and making her laugh in the middle of intensity was not her, because she felt ridiculed.
Which I'm sure you just pressed that button a couple times.
Well, I did, and realized, you know, okay, this is cruel and it's not working, and she's feeling belittled.
Even if it's fun.
You had to learn each one. You have to learn each one of your children and what makes it work. Roby would get so deep so quickly. He could just go from hilarious to so deep. And so even as a little boy, I'd get into bed with him at night and we'd be staring up having these incredibly deep conversations where I'd have to say, I don't know. Let me think about that for a while. Tori had such compassion for animals and people and other things that broke her heart. And it was just like, wow, Tori, you're carrying the weight of the world. And I had to listen. But I knew this. I knew that because the value of our dinners and because of the value of our every other Wednesday morning breakfast, that I wrote the letters, and they weren't necessarily easy for me to write. I got into the routine and the discipline of doing them freshman year because I wanted to continue to say, I'm still here. I still love you. I'm still here. I still love you. I'm still here. I still love you. Get the letter, carry the letter. She never said thanks. We were packing up her stuff to leave college, and I see on the floor this Pier 1 Imports mahogany box, wooden box, and I don't know what's in it, and it's none of my business to open it up. It's got a little hasp on it, but there's no lock, and I get ready to pick it up to take it out to the car, and she says, you should open that up and see what's in it. And I opened it up, it was all the letters.
Aww.
They were all there, and I'll take that as a thank you. You should open that up, and I took it as a thank you, and it just, okay, 178 letters, I'm there. I get it. It's awesome, and I just want to do everything I can from every direction I can, you know, to approach this child in every conceivable way I can and let them know they're valuable. There were times in college when we'd go on a family vacation and she didn't want to go. And you know, one time we didn't make her go and we made a mistake and we flew her back up in the middle. And the rest of the time we took her, and when she acted like she didn't want to go, and I had to decide, like, this is awesome having you here. And it wasn't. She was in a bad mood the whole time. but our job is to pursue their heart and pursue, okay, how do I get to her here? And it's not by buying her things and dropping her off places.
It's kind of almost, I don't want to say it.
You're right, though.
It's kind of almost like a dating process, too. I mean, you pursued your wife. You go after her. You find out whatever you have to find out to win her over. You almost have to do the same thing with your daughter.
And you have to listen deeper with your daughter because your daughter doesn't have the verbal skills that a woman has. But you realize as you're listening deeper and saying to her, okay, I think I know what you're saying. Are you saying this? You're starting to give your daughter the verbal skills she needs to communicate later on. I am a good communicator today because my wife grew up in a home where there was good communication. You know, when you grow up in a home of dad and all boys, because mom's dead, you don't sit around and bond.
There's
not a lot of that happening.
Right.
Dinner was really fast. And so I learned how to communicate and then learned how to reach into the lives of my children, especially my daughter, because my son, it was automatic. After dinner, let's go throw a basketball. I had to find her. What's her for this? I had to reach in because I had to realize everything I'm doing is impacting the success of her marriage in the future.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we are wrapping up the series of Fathers and Daughters. And if you missed any of these programs, you can hear them all over again, even share them with your spouse or with another dad, another parent, online at parentingtoday.org. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, there are books available there, other resources for your marriage, also yourself as a parent, and all the proceeds go to help Sheridan House. You can buy them online at shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us again next week for another topic here on Parenting Today.